Good morning, everyone. My name is Zach. For those of you that don't know, I'm part of the youth group, and the youth group gets to do the service today. Thank you, Ryan and team, for leading out in worship. It was really good. And also thank you, Amy and Goliath and the rest of you that were in this kit. It was something that would leave an impression, I'm sure. So a little bit about myself. I'm 18 years old. I'm in college right now to become a nurse, and so that's a lot of fun. So I'm going for a bachelor's, but I'm trying to earn a four-year degree in 3 years, so I get to have a summer semester. So I'm stuck inside all summer doing homework while everyone else is out working, going to the beach, and you see people, you know, doing all this fun stuff, and I'm just at home. But no, it's a good time. It's fun. But one of my classes with school, it's called Death, Dying, and Bereavement. Basically, it's about the grieving process, what's healthy ways to grieve, what's not so healthy ways to grieve. So kind of with the class, the whole class went to tour a funeral home, which was really exciting, I guess. We got to see a crematory. And so we got to meet the funeral home director. He's kind of like the guy in charge, is in charge of the operations. And he was talking for a while, and something that had come up during it was about a two-hour lecture that he was giving us before we went and toured. Something that, a question that he asked us was, what is the most important thing that you learned from your dad? And so today's Father's Day, and so that's kind of the way that we're going with the message today, is looking to honor our parents and to honor our fathers in particular. And so this was before I had been asked to preach, and so I was thinking about this for like a week or so, and it's kind of something that you don't come up with an answer right away, especially not for me. I learned a lot from my dad. Not everyone was as lucky as me, but my dad taught me so many things. And so for me, it took a long time to process that question. So I was thinking and kind of reflecting about everything that I've learned. But it's a question I'm going to ask you. I want you to think about. What's the most important thing that you've learned from your father? So as I was thinking about it, Danny texted me probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago and asked me if I want to preach. And he had kind of worded it in a way that made it sound like Ryan was preaching too. And so I was like, oh, sure, if Ryan will preach, I'll preach. Came to find out later, Ryan hadn't been asked yet. He was just trying to get both of us to preach and figured if he could get one of us, he'd get both of us. No, I had to call you out, Danny. But anyway, no, it's good. It was fun. But as I was thinking about what we were going to preach, I was kind of talking about it with Ryan, and we weren't real sure. And all of a sudden, there was like a week left, and we still didn't really have a topic. And so I thought about this. It was Father's Day. I was like, maybe I can get a sermon together about what's the most important thing that I've learned from my dad. And so my sermon today is it's pretty personal. I didn't know if I wanted to be really vague with it or if I wanted to, you know, make it very personal to myself. And then someone had told me that personal messages always mean more. And so hopefully that's kind of what's going to happen today. And so as I was thinking about what my dad has all taught me and what's like the most important thing, something that I came up with, that there was a lot of different things that I was going back and forth with. But what my message today is about working hard at living intentionally. And so there's kind of three different parts that I want to take us through that at working hard at living intentionally. And so the first part is for us to be able to live intentionally, we need to know Jesus. It's the most foundational part of having an intentional life. You need to know Jesus. You need to know who he is. So for a verse, I want to go to Psalms 39:7. You don't have to turn here. In the New Living Translation, it says, it's my favorite translation, "And so, Lord, where do I put my hope? My only hope is in you." And that's so true. As I was thinking about that verse, it's so true. My only hope is in the Lord. That's the only thing that we have to hope for. Like I said, I'm in college, and it's not a Christian nursing school, and so I meet a lot of people, secular people, and so many of them don't have any hope. While they're at school, they party to try and have fun, right? And then you graduate with a degree, hoping to make money so you can buy a bigger house, maybe have some more friends, party some more, go on more vacations, do bigger and better things, right? You save some money so that way when you get old, you have money for retirement. And one day, maybe if you have enough money left over, you can go into a nice retirement home and maybe have a happy death. And that's what they're living for. That's what the world is living for. And thinking about that is so sad to me. And so we have so much more than that because we have a hope in Jesus. We have a hope, but that is our only hope. That is the only thing that we have to hope for. So growing up, my dad always worked really, really hard to make sure that me and my little brother know Jesus. He put in time and effort. He made sure that he talked to us about it. He made sure that he, you know, made sure that we knew God, that we were on the right path. We had deep conversations all the time. And most of all, Dad always pushed the family to have devotions. We always had a family devotions. Growing up, it gets harder as you get older, as the family kind of spreads out and I'm in school and we're all doing things. But even now, every Saturday, we have a family devotions. And it means so much because you don't always remember those devotions and what you talked about, but you remember that time as a family, and you're always growing in Jesus. And so I just wanted to bless my dad for that, for putting in time and putting in work to have devotions. But even now in my own life, daily devotions is something that takes work, and it takes effort. For those of you that have a daily devotions, you know this to be true. It's not always easy. You get busy in life, and things come up, and it's not always the easiest thing to have that daily devotions, but it's so, so important. It takes work and effort. It takes intentionality to create that habit of needing devotions. But the reward when you have that habit is so, so amazing. That feeling you get when you wake up in the morning and the only thing you want to do is have devotions and you want to spend that time with God is something that you can't replace. It's incredible. And so the first part of working hard at living intentionally is knowing Jesus. We need to work hard at knowing Jesus. The second part of working hard at living intentionally is we need to work hard at following Jesus. So it's one thing to know Jesus, but it's another thing to follow him. And so for a passage, I want to go to Matthew 4, 18 to 22. If you want to turn there, it would be great. Matthew 4, 18 to 22. And so Jesus is calling his first disciples here. So Matthew 4, 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And so I think this is how it is for a lot of us, right? We get called by Jesus and we're so into it. Or we have a revival and we're like, yes, Jesus, you're the only thing that I want to worship, right? I want everybody in the world to know about you. And we put him up and we're like, we're going to have more devotions. We're going to do all of this great stuff. We're going to, you know, how that is. And we had Steve Stutzman was here a couple Sundays ago and had an incredible, incredible service. And people were crying and people were repenting and it was an incredible time. But how do we follow that up? So that first love is something that we need to hold on to. Then I want to read Luke 22, 54 to 62. So in Luke 22, verse 54, it starts out, And then they took him, talking about Jesus here, and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. So this is after they've captured Jesus and they're getting ready to kind of execute him or they're putting him on trial. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, they were set down together. Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, This man was also with him, and he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow was also with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon him. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, and how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And so Peter, the first passage I read in Matthew, Peter left everything, right? He left his business. He walked away from his friends. He walked away from everything. Two of the brothers walked away from their dad in the fishing boat. Everybody walked away, and they were in love with Jesus. They were all in. But in this passage, Peter doesn't even recognize that he knew Jesus. He denies being a disciple, but more than that, he denied knowing our Lord and Savior. And so now let's compare this to our life for a little bit. So often our first love is so incredible. It's what I was talking about earlier, right? But what do we do with that? Do we get scared? Being Christians can be hard. Not as bad, it's not bad in America, but even with your jobs, right, you get caught up. There's things to do. You have a family to provide for. You have things to do. For some of the youth, you have a reputation to maintain, right? Your friends are looking at you, and they expect you to be this person. Maybe being a Christian isn't part of that, but are you willing to work hard at following Jesus and to step past that? And so, just like with the disciples, when Jesus called each disciple, he had a plan for each disciple. And so God has a plan for each and every purpose in this building. And that plan is not finished until you die. Right? So God has a plan for each and every one of you, and I don't want you to ever forget that. But not only does God have one plan for your life, God has hundreds and hundreds of plans for your life. Every decision you make is a plan for your life. And so I want to talk about long-term and short-term plans today. We'll start with long-term plans. Long-term plans are things like missions trips, maybe a profession that you pick, what you're going to do the first year out of high school, right? That's a plan God has for you. He wants the best for you. Short-term plans, I believe, are often more important. It's that feeling you get when you know you're supposed to go talk to someone. The Spirit is urging you to go confront this person. Go ask them how their day was and mean it. Maybe the Spirit's leading you to give a little more tithe that week. Give 25% of your paycheck instead of just 10%. What about spending some more time in devotions? You usually have a 10-minute devotions in the morning. What if the Spirit's pushing you to do 25? Are you willing to listen to the Spirit and to commit to those short-term plans? Are you willing to step out? And so, going back to my dad always pushed me to do both. He always pushed me to, you know, do the long-term plans, do missions trips, do big things, find a job that you like, pray about it, seek God out, find out what his long-term plans are for your life. But more than that, he pushed me for the short-term plans. Step out at youth group, talk to people, care about people, give more of your tithe, spend more time in devotions, do things like this, like getting up and preaching. That's going to stretch you a little bit. So my last point today is living intentionally is not a comfortable thing to do. I want to read Matthew 8, 23 to 27. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read it. Matthew 8, 23 to 27. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Again, it's talking about Jesus. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And so the disciples here, they followed Jesus, right? They trusted Jesus. They knew that he had the best in mind, so they followed him onto the ship. But when that storm hit, suddenly they weren't so confident in him. They didn't believe that he had their best intentions in mind. And so they woke him. They were scared. They were terrified. And so I want to look at our lives now. Do you get scared when you hit storms? Do you panic and start freaking out? There's nothing wrong with that. But also, we need to have faith. Jesus rebuked the disciples for not having faith to weather through the storm. Jesus always, always has the best in mind for you. Always, always has the best in mind for you. And so even while we're in storms and it seems really, really hard and the going is tough, just remember that there's a reason you're going through it. And that sounds so, so cliche, but I can't stress it enough. There was a reason that the disciples were in the boat, just like there's a reason that you're going to face storms. And so long-term plans that God has for you are uncomfortable because moving away from friends on a missions trip isn't fun, right? Maybe doing big things is often hard. Melissa committed 6 months of her life to go up to Canada, and I'm sure she'll enjoy it, but it's also hard at the same time. You're going to miss your family. You're going to miss the youth group. You're going to miss people around you. And so long-term plans are uncomfortable. I have to think of Jeremy Esch. committing two years of his life to Mexico. Going down there was hard for him. He missed the people back here. It was a hard, hard experience. But the impact that he's having on those kids is incredible. Short-term plans are uncomfortable because they push us out of routine. They push you out of things that you know, at youth group you could play volleyball or you could maybe go talk to someone, see how they're doing, really dig into their lives, make an impact. Someone I had to think of when I was thinking of short-term plans is Vern. I don't know if he's here today. Vern gave the youth group, he did a Sunday school for us, and it wasn't a comfortable experience for him. He talked about some hard things, about something that, yeah, that's difficult. But the other, throughout the past couple weeks, as we've been kind of thinking about what we want to do for the next year with Sunday school, one of the biggest things that people have said is how they want more people like Vern to step out, talk about the hard things. He had a huge, huge impact just because he was willing to step out for a short-term plan that God had for him. He stepped out and he impacted the youth group in a way that I don't even know if he can imagine. And so there's a tremendous, tremendous fulfillment in fulfilling those short-term plans. God has rewards here, and he has rewards in heaven for us. And so I want to challenge you to look at your life. Look at long-term plans that God has for you, right? And fulfill those, push towards those. But the short-term plans in life, the conversations you're going to have with people, the money you give, that extra time you're going to spend in prayer with the Lord, that's what's going to open the doors for the long-term plans that God has for your life. And so in conclusion, the three main points were: we need to know Jesus to be able to live intentionally. We need to work hard at following Jesus, right? And living intentionally is not something that's comfortable. And so as I, at the funeral home, the director he'd ask us this question: what's the most important thing you learned from your dad? But there was a second part with the question, and he asked us, what's the most important thing you want to teach your kids? When you die, what do you want your kids to remember you by? What's one thing that you want to leave here, that you want to teach your kids, that you want to leave here on this earth? And so I challenge you to think about that as you go throughout the next couple weeks. Think about what you learned from your dad and what you want to pass on to your kids. Thank you.